Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where for over 4 years we've been asking the franchise entrepreneurs to own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with Steve Cook, Vice President of Franchise Sales for Moe's Southwest Grill. And Moe's Southwest Grill is a fast casual concept featuring fresh Southwest fare in a fun and engaging atmosphere with over 400 locations in 34 states and in Canada. And that's coming up on segment two of Franchise Interview. So stick around because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Who's helping build America one small business at a time? Franchise Inc., a free consulting service.
For years, Franchise Inc., a national company, has been helping people franchise their business concept and help folks like you own a franchise.
With over 2,500 franchise systems out there, it can be awfully confusing. Don't take chances with your future. At Franchise Inc., we've done the homework for you. We can help match your interests and background with the franchise that's right for you. And we only work with proven franchise systems with a solid reputation and track record of success.
The consultants at Franchise Inc. can help you with your short and long-term wealth strategy.
Give us a call today and we'll send you free our best-selling book, Solving the Puzzle of Owning a Franchise.
Remember, it's not just owning a franchise, but finding the right one for you. Call us at 800-961-0420 for a quick consultation to discuss what's important to you, your business, and your future.
The service is free. The book is free. What do you have to lose? Find the business that's right for you.
Call Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420. That's Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneurs to own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. How are you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
Yeah, I'm having a nice week. Doing well, Marty. How are you?
Good, good. Same here. Nice week. It's going by fast, of course. And I think fall is in Pennsylvania, Don, so I'm happy about that.
Yeah, same here. It's nice.
Nice.
Fall day. It's my favorite time of the year.
Yeah, same here. Absolutely. Our last show, Don, we met with Steve Barth, a Hair Club New England CEO, and this was definitely a different show for us. This year is Hair Club of New England's 30th year in business, and Steve currently owns the New England franchise locations. He has 8, Massachusetts, Connecticut, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, and he's Hair Club's most successful franchisee. Here were some stats that I was unaware of when we did the show last week. About 30% of people have hair loss by age 30, 50% by age 50, 40% of hair loss sufferers are women, and hair loss and how to treat it is something that is woefully misunderstood. Market is big for hair loss, isn't it? You know, and this was a great story. What I like most about the story is I thought he was a perfect match for this type of franchise, not because he was only a client, but he was just very passionate about the service, and you could hear that in his voice. You know, he was excited to talk about this opportunity. Do you have any thoughts on last week?
Well, just ever since the show, I've just been more nervous about my hair.
That's true, all of us.
If 50% lose the hair by 50, I'm starting to get a little nervous. I'm starting to...
One out of two, yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. Those numbers are high. And, you know, this is a company that started here in the Northeast. I guess it was Cy Sperling started the company. And I remember the commercials back from when I was a kid. So I used to see his face on TV all the time, you know. So this part of the country, he was definitely... well known, and I always knew them as Hair Club for Men, you know.
Right.
And then they changed the name. I guess it was about maybe 5 or 6 years ago.
Right.
And you know, so they wouldn't eliminate that the market of women, which again, 40% of hair loss sufferers are women. So why miss out on that market? You know, when it's huge. So
thousands of people they've helped. It's just it's a real personal stressful situation when you're young and losing your hair.
Right.
And I guess they've I didn't realize they've been in business that long, but you're right, I always knew it for Hair Club for Men. So when I heard it was Hair
right.
Club of New England, I guess Steve's business, I was thinking is that the same company. So they've been doing
yeah.
this a long time, and obviously considered one of the leaders in their field.
Yeah, he was I mean, he was smart. He took some chances in the beginning, of course, you know. I mean, it's, you know, I think he was almost working for free at some point because I think he really believed in this
right.
In this concept, you know.
Yeah, he kind of partnered
like
with
yeah.
Steve was more of the one who kind of started the franchising direction.
Yeah, it's in that way. I think if it wasn't for him, I don't think it would have happened, or it may have happened later
right.
on. You know, or not as successful, you know. So, yeah, so I thought it was a great story. I mean, it's always fun when you have, you know, successful franchisee on the show, you know, and they talk about, you know, what it was like in the beginning and things like that, you know. And
right.
So it's good. Good for him. I'm glad to see that he's doing so well. And, again, we'll keep our eye, you know, on Hair Club and see if they continue to expand. It looks like they're going to expand internationally as well now. So
right.
they're going in that direction. So what do we have going on today, Don?
Well, we're having on Moe's Southwest Grill, over 400
mm-hmm.
locations, Marty, 34 states and Canada. Mr. Stephen Korp's going to come on and tell us the whole Moe's story, so we're looking forward to that. We've been in franchising a while, so obviously we've been hearing about Moe's for years.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
You know, we are probably going to end up making the mistake hearing all about the great dishes they have, you know, right before lunchtime.
Yeah, you know, these shows are killers, aren't they? You know, it's tough, you know. And we have some exciting news, Don, for our 200th show. I'm not going to mention it yet. It's going to be a little teaser, but we got a great guest for that particular show. You know, we always try to go a little extra on our
right.
anniversary show, which is always, we typically do the day before Thanksgiving, which is fun to do too, you know.
Right.
It's, you know, getting ready for that 4-day weekend and stuff like that. So so we'll make that announcement in a couple weeks. We'll post it up on the website, who the celebrity guest is going to be for that particular day. But you and I are definitely both fans. Here's a quick announcement, Don. I mentioned last week, and I just found out that, and again, I want to say it's attributed to us, but this message now is going viral. It's all over the internet. It says, calling all franchise industry professionals, let's unite in support of breast cancer awareness and research. Phoenix, Arizona, Because once again, franchise industry professionals from Web or Women Empowered by Business are reaching out to get industry support to participate in the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer 3-Day 60-Mile Walk, which again takes place in Phoenix, Arizona, November 12th through 14th. After raising over $20,000 for breast cancer research in 2009, the Spiderweb team has a goal of attracting 10 or more walkers, 10 or more sponsors, and surpassing the money raised for the cause in 2009. So this is really a great cause. It says if we can raise over $20,000 in 2009 towards finding a cure towards breast cancer as first-year participants, can you imagine what we could do as an industry collectively moving forward? Says Lori Tile, Senior Vice President of Operations at the eSource and co-founder of Web. So it says for more information on participating in next year's events, or it's actually this year, call Lori at 203-405-2122. Or you can go to the website, www.womeneb.com. So I'm seeing that now all over the Internet. So I think it's great. What I love about that is how the franchise community comes together, you know what I mean, to help out with causes like this. And we've seen this a lot, you know, since we've been doing the show in 4 years. A lot of great companies out there coming together and helping with all these different causes, whether it's Haiti or, you know, homelessness, whatever it may be. So.
Yeah, there's no doubt the franchise industry holds their own, and we've read many stories over the last few years of certain franchise systems stepping up and helping people. It's what life's all about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I know you had some interesting articles that I think we're going to try to get to last week, and, of course, we couldn't make it. So what you got this week?
Here's an article, Marty, Tips to Help Succeed at Owning a Franchise by Jerry Chowton. Starts out, careers are no longer interrupted, says Bob Melberth, a Sarasota-based business coach with a franchising background, including stints with McDonald's and Wendy's. Franchising is a viable consideration for anyone who's looking for an alternative to the traditional career path, he says. Buying a proven franchise also is a good choice for some out-of-work people to get off the unemployment rolls, start earning income again. That is because franchises have systems in place that can take the guesswork out of what kind of a business to start. Franchisors are not necessarily looking for experts in their industry. This is the interesting part of the article. They're not looking for experts in their industry, but individuals with great work ethic, broad business knowledge, and a willingness to follow a proven system. Have we ever talked about that before? People just need to follow a system?
Maybe once, right? We've mentioned it once on the show, or 1,000 times, actually, you know, in you know, 200 shows. It's a common theme. It's a very powerful statement. I like that.
Statistics also show that you must choose wisely because not all franchises are successful. Nearly 5% of all franchise systems backed by an SBA loan failed in 2009, according to Coleman's report, compilation of data from loans guaranteed by the agency. It goes on, recognizable brands such as the Athlete's Foot, Cold Stone Creamery, Quiznos are on Coleman's list, and even well-known names like that have failures, so you have to be careful. You have to really do your homework and speak to other franchisees. And sometimes not always is the big well-known franchise name always going to be the best option, because maybe you don't have the best expansion potential. Remember, with a lot of I don't know what the percentage is, but with a lot of franchises, the key to really doing well is owning multiple locations. So you want to make sure as you're looking at a franchise, you know, what's your potential to grow in your market or county?
Yeah, it's true.
So it just goes on saying, consequently, painstaking due diligence and research is necessary to choose the right franchise. And obviously we always recommend using a coach because even if you've been an established business owner, it's always good to get advice and just be very careful because it's a long-term decision.
Advice from many different sources too, Don. You know, and you mentioned that a lot in segment one. Advice from a franchise attorney, you know, and again, not just a attorney, but a franchise attorney. Accountants, you know, we've had that recommendation from a lot of our franchise experts in the past. You know, have an accountant sit down and look at the financials and you know, kind of tell you what they think, because, again, not everyone understands that stuff. I mean, the franchise attorney shows are always a big wow for me because they bring up things that I never would have thought of
in a million years sometimes. Things, you know, from their own experience,
right,
things that can happen. So, yeah, most definitely.
Here's something interesting. Multi-brand franchises have many benefits by Alexandra Kane. This is through SMH.com. Although many franchisees are owner-operators and are content to run a single franchise, increasingly, savvy franchise owners are operating not just multiple outlets of the same franchise, but multiple franchise brands. The benefits are manifold. Not only does the multi-brand franchise strategy give owners more leverage with shopping management, it also generates economies of scale and gives franchisees more bang for their marketing buck.
Sure.
I've always been a big fan of this. When you go into franchising, as you grow, possibly consider diversifying into another franchise system. Maybe one day you own two or three different franchises.
Yeah,
and where maybe
the
same customer base of one franchise can be a client for a different franchise service or store that you have.
Yeah, why put your eggs in one basket, you know? And again, sometimes if you're in somebody's home or if you have a relationship with a client, I mean, why not sell them something else, you know? I mean, so, for example, if you have a carpet cleaning franchise and you have a strong relationship with your client, I mean, why can't you provide maid services or duct cleaning or, God, I mean the list
or disaster restoration type services,
yeah,
something like
that.
Yeah,
there you go. I mean, there's just so many things you can do. So I totally agree with that. I think that's that is the way to go.
When it comes to properly managing the financial affairs of multiple franchises, it's critical to have financial reserves. The unknown always happens. You might be robbed or sales might drop or you might need new equipment. This happens unexpectedly. You don't have cash reserves, you'll end up hurting.
Right.
I wonder what part of the country this is in to start off saying you might be robbed. another tip for franchisees keen on rolling out an expansion strategy is to work with accountants and lawyers with specific knowledge of franchise systems. It's important to pay for good advice, as we said just a little while ago. Get references from other franchisees in the system about their accountants and solicitors, because you'll usually find one accountant looks after a large number of franchisees from the same system, and their advice is worth its weight in gold. You know, that's interesting. I guess sometimes different franchisees might have the same accountant because they were referred. So all of a sudden, this accountant will have all the, you know, they'll know best the numbers and sales and net
true.
Profit and overhead, and they can sometimes be a source of what their recommendation is on a certain franchise system.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's funny, you know, it's in the 200 shows that we've done. There's been several instances, I don't know how many, but of like you've heard of like accountants actually looking at the financials of a particular franchise system and saying, wow, this makes sense, and they go into it themselves just because they saw the financials, you know. Aaron's sales and lease was one of those examples where something like that happened. But, yeah, most definitely, I think that's important.
When putting together loan applications to secure finance to purchase additional franchises, in each application, assume the bank knows nothing about the business and you personally. Unless you tell them as much as you can in your business plan or supporting documentation, the bank decision makers will know nothing about your experience, goals, and plans. Although your bank manager may understand the business and you, the application will go to areas of the bank such as risk management and don't have the same understanding of the franchise or you. It's a pretty good point. You know, you're getting a loan for a Subway, you're thinking, well, why do I have to tell them about Subway? Everybody knows about it, but there might be certain people never eaten at a Subway and just know of, hey, it's a well-known brand, but they might not know the specifics on why it's been so successful. So you have to really spell it out in detail, and, you know, it's important to really and possibly even have, your own accountant help you with projections or go with a, you know, business finance broker.
Right, yeah.
And which brings me to, while we're on the subject, Marty, of financing, you might have heard recently the Small Business Jobs Act passed recently.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
It's a $42 billion bill aimed at helping small businesses. Finally, something to help the small business person, so we'll have to keep an eye on that. Within the Small Business Jobs Act, which was just approved by the House of Representatives just last week, it also had some changes with Small Business Administration, my industry, of course. So at least temporarily, lenders now have higher guarantee protection, so they're going to be a little more aggressive. There's less fees. that the lender pays. There's less closing costs on a loan for the borrower or franchisee, so that's good for them. And they increased the loan cap up several million more, which will basically just bring more lenders into SBA financing because now they can do higher size loans. So it should help the whole situation, at least temporarily, to the end of the year. But the higher increased cap, that's indefinite. So it should give a little boost to the industry because lending is still very tight and tough, especially on smaller startup loans. But they're saying the measure is expected to create 500,000 jobs, according to the summary of the bill from the Senate. So who knows? But just any, just you know, creating a few hundred extra jobs around the country, I mean, that's, you know, like anything that's positive is a plus these days.
And this takes effect immediately, right, Don? I mean, it's already gone into effect. So, I mean, guys like yourself, have people been talking about it? Or, I mean, it sounds like, I mean, I've saw several emails on this already.
We've been waiting for this for a long time. The 90% guarantee and less fees, it's been on and off the table for the last year or more. It's been run out, and then all of a sudden lenders have less SBA protection, a smaller guarantee, which means they're going to be more conservative. So we finally got it back, but it might only be for a few months. But there's other parts of it, like higher increased loan cap, which you just get business lending in general being a little better, at least for larger size loans, more people who want to refinance or help their cash flow or business acquisitions. Most of the country needs the, you know, in the 50 to 250,000 range. That's the type of funding that most people need to start a small business, and that unfortunately has been the toughest type of financing get. And you know, that's mostly what my company specialty has been in that range.
Well, you can see the snowball effect that's happened, you know, with all of this financing issues. You know, I mean, people not being able to get loans. You know, it's just it's affected the whole franchise community all around, even people outside of franchising. You know, it's
right.
So, I mean, thank God, you know, that something like this has been done. I know, you know, everyone's been waiting for a long time and patiently, you know. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. So, I think that's very important, of course. So that's excellent news. So why don't we do this, Don? I see our guest Steve has called in. Why don't we we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth Advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, No expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneurs who own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Steve Corp, Vice President of Franchise Sales for Moe's Southwest Grill. And Moe's Southwest Grill is a fast casual concept featuring fresh Southwest fare and a fun and engaging atmosphere with over 400 locations in 34 states, including Canada. Hey, Steve, how you doing today?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm doing great. Glad to be here.
Oh, thanks, Steve. See, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson, and I know, Don, you wanted to say good morning to Steve.
Yeah, hey, Steve. Good to have you on. We've spoken not too long ago. How's your fall going so far?
It is going pretty great. We got a lot of activity going on. Things are really on the upswing for Moe's, and excited to see how the year's going to end out.
Great.
Steve, it's always a fun question to start the interview asking, what were you doing before coming to Moe's? I know you have an interesting background.
Well, I've been with Focus Brands since 2003 when all we had was Carvel. In the time since, we purchased Cinnabon, Schlotzky's, and then Moe's in that order. I've worked with all of the brands to some degree since acquiring. Prior to that, I was in franchise sales for a couple of hotel companies, and prior to that, I was a licensed civil engineer, if you can believe it.
Wow. That's interesting.
That's why we asked the question, right, Marty?
Yes. It's always fun asking the backgrounds, it's the diversity. What about the history of Moe's Southwest Grills? Steve, can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure, absolutely. Well, Moe's was founded in Atlanta, Georgia, in 2000. And, since the beginning, Moe's has been all about fresh, high-quality ingredients and, a quirky, fun, and unique dining experience. When you walk in the front door, the signature, people yelling out, "Welcome to Moe's." Giant burritos with funny names, Home Wrecker, Joey Bag of Donuts, things like that. Free chips and salsa bar and a music playlist which gives tribute to a deceased musician are just some of the things that I think set us apart from our competition and make a fun atmosphere for the people.
So I guess that's really how you describe the Moe's franchise system. When you have new prospects, Steve, looking at Moe's, how do you really, sum that up? And, you mentioned some of the the highlights. They've been around for a little bit. Is there anything else when you speak to a franchisee on how you, you know, describe the Mo's system?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think anybody that's looking to align with the franchise system, I mean, obviously you're generally going to be paying some sort of an upfront fee, and then you're going to be paying ongoing fees as you go. So I think as a world-class franchisor, Mo's, you know, tries to provide, obviously, the unique menu offerings and fun atmosphere we talked about, but mm-hmm. I think really people are looking for the support. You know, our restaurants are supported by, you know, a team of professionals that are dedicated to, you know, the success and profitability of our franchise partners. And I think if they feel comfortable and confident that that is the case, that it is truly a partnership, you know, it makes things a lot nicer. You know, we try to operate with integrity. And, you know, one of the greatest keys for success of any franchise system is having a group of existing franchise partners that are, you know, that trust you and are enthusiastic about the brand, because they, in fact, turn out to be, you know, as good a salespeople for the brand as anybody from the corporate side.
Has Mo's had to, well, I mean, I guess any business goes through change. I guess Mo's has probably had to go through some changes over time. But for people listening, maybe wanting to hear kind of what category the Mo's restaurant system is in and how big is that particular industry, Steve?
Sure. Well, Mo's is a fast casual restaurant, you know, which is kind of slotted between, you know, the quick serve restaurant and, you know, casual dining, Applebee's, TGI Fridays. So it's really trying to give you that casual dining experience, you know, but really at a much quicker speed of service. And, you know, obviously there's no waiters and waitresses for the most part, so there's no tipping that has to be done. So it provides a fresh, good quality food in a upscale environment, but at a price point that many people can find attractive. The industry in 2010, fast casual restaurant sales will probably be around $23 billion. That's mm-hmm. up probably 30% or so from 2006.
Right.
And the Mexican portion of that fast casual makes up about 20% of that $23 billion.
I mean, really incredible, over 400
yeah.
locations. I mean, that's it's pretty impressive. I guess just the continued growth, just keep going, I guess.
Well, yeah, the thing about the growth is obviously that's always the dilemma. I think that any concept or any franchise system gets to, I mean, we could probably mm-hmm. grow faster than we do.
Right.
But the question is, you know, where do you want to grow and who are you growing with? So we're just trying to be very particular on, you know, concentric growth that's in areas where we are already successful and growing out from there and growing with people that, you know, have the experience and the ability and the understanding, you know, to make a good franchise partner.
So during these tough economic times, as Mo sounds like it's been thriving, I guess, you know, a little bit when, you know, many, you know, the restaurant industry in general, just looking at the big picture, times are tough, but I guess this is the advantage of a franchisee having a concept and the support and everything. It's really where franchising shines through, I guess.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's true. The Mo's team, you know, all the way across from top to bottom, side to side is unbelievable. They're passionate about the brand and they're very concerned with the success of our franchise partners. And, you know, our same store sales, I think, are up probably 6.5% across the system. And I think you'd be hard-pressed to find another, you know, another restaurant company or brand that can say the same thing.
Wow, that's amazing. I see, too, Steve, you guys were, Mo's was named the top 10 growth chain by Restaurant Hospitality in 2007, and you guys are also a Gold Award winner in, was it 2008, the Consumer's Choice in
Yeah, we've Award. Had so
congratulations
a variety of accolades and things
yeah.
that have come down year after year after year. And, you know, and I think that the reason for that is the brand is really starting to, you know, get its
mm-hmm.
legs. And you know, we've got great leadership from the top with Paul D'Amico on through, you know, the entire team he's put together at Mo's.
That's great. What's been the most interesting thing that's happened to you since joining Mo's, Steve? Anything stand out?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, I've worked for, you know, several different brands, our brands, other brands, you know, restaurants, non-restaurants, and I think the most interesting thing was really getting to know our existing Mo's franchise partners and really understanding how much passion they have for the brand. you know, in my role, obviously, as franchise sales, you know, having existing partners who are successful, you know, and willing to talk to prospective franchise partners that are coming in and
right.
tell them about the strengths of the brand, you know, kind of acting as a, you know, de facto sales team for you, it's refreshing because you don't find that everywhere you go. And I think another thing that that's really been interesting is the group, the Moe's team, the Moe's corporate team that has been put together that's in place right now as we look to move forward. I mean, to a person, they're, you know, unique, they're smart, hardworking, you know, passionate about the brand, with genuine concern for our franchise partners. And obviously, if you've been into Moe's, they're also, you know, a little bit strange to some degree, which I think maybe you have to be to work at Moe's, just like that.
Well, that leads to our next question. What types of characteristics, then, do you look for in a franchisee, Steve?
Well, there's a million things, but, you know, I guess you can boil everything down to, you know, I don't want to say boil it down to, but I guess I would say passion for the brand. I mean, if you're going to look to invest in something, you need to really love what you're doing. You know, especially in a restaurant situation, you have to have concern for people. You got to actually like people, get out there, talk to them, meet them, both inside of your restaurant and out. You know, a complete understanding of the business model, the ability to follow a system, you know, relevant business and restaurant experience, you know, have the proper financial strength, and a clear expectation, I think, of what you're trying to achieve, understanding what, you know, what's going to happen in the first 6 months, the first 12 months, the first 5 years, you know, somebody that actually has done their homework. That's what we want. Excited people that do a lot of research and know exactly what they're getting into.
Right. You guys have a lot of franchisees. I mean, what were they doing in their previous lives before becoming a franchisee?
Well, actually, that's funny. I mean, all over the board. I mean, from CPAs to people that were, you know, vice president of operations for other restaurant companies. You know, I think that when you first grow a brand, you have a tendency to sell franchises maybe a little more freely than you do later on. Our goal now and our ideal, you know, franchise partner now is either a restaurant person or a person that's got significant restaurant experience. But you can find anybody that was doing pretty much anything, just like, you know, me selling franchises when I went to school to be a civil engineer.
And I imagine you have a very strong training program, Steve. Maybe talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Training is going to be one of the critical things that's going to launch somebody to success. We have our new franchise partners. They attend a 21-day program in Atlanta. That consists of both classroom training and hands-on training. In one of our certified restaurants, we have three corporate restaurants in the Atlanta market that we use for our training platform. The topics that they do, I mean, they're going to learn about food, they're going to learn about staffing, they're going to learn about health and sanitation, the point-of-sale system, marketing, catering. I mean, they're going to learn and live all of that during those 21 days. Once they get done with that initial training part, that training takes place while a prospect's store is under construction, so they can obviously remember and retain all that when they get out. And then when their store actually does open, we provide a new restaurant opening training where we bring a team down to the restaurant for a week that handles, you know, everything from prepping their staff, training the staff, a VIP opening through the grand opening, just to make sure that there's, you know, no hitches as the restaurant opens. And, you know, the other thing we also do is, you know, we have additional training. Sometimes someone goes through training, they get their new restaurant opening support and everything, and, you know, 2-3 months in, something's just not right. You know, we'll bring a team down there into the restaurant and just sort of do a little, a little research on what we need to do to get things back on track and moving in the right direction.
I think you're right, people in the restaurant industry in general, it's, you know, it's an interesting experience. You maybe talk about a typical day for a Moe's franchise.
Yeah, I loved when I saw a little list of some of the things we might discuss, and you know, I guess it may sound cliche, but I don't think that probably for any restaurant person, but there's probably no real typical day for a franchisee.
Right.
I think these guys have to wear, you know, 10 hats. You know, one day they may just be walking around their restaurant greeting customers, cleaning off tables. They may be behind the line rolling burritos, prepping food. You know, they may have a big catering order and they're so busy that, you know, they're going to jump in the in their Moe's wrapped vehicle and deliver a catering order. You know, they may be cleaning bathrooms, doing anything. You know, they have to train new employees. You know, they've got to do local store marketing. So, I mean, there's an endless list of things that they can be doing. But the one thing that I would say that is typical is that the most successful franchise partners are the ones that know every aspect of their business and spend at least part of each day, you know, working either on or in, you know, their business and in their restaurant.
Right.
That's
great. Steve, we have to take a quick break. Are you able to stick around for another second?
Certainly. Absolutely.
That'll be fantastic. And we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919. Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Steve Corp, the Vice President of Franchise Sales for Moe's Southwest Grill. And Moe's Southwest Grill is a fast casual concept featuring fresh Southwest fare and a fun and engaging atmosphere with over 400 locations in 34 states, including Canada. And Steve, the majority of our listeners are, I guess you can call them, aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise. What advice would you give to them in their quest to buy a franchise?
Well, I guess I'm going to say a couple things about that. The word entrepreneur actually to me, isn't really the ideal candidate for a franchise.
Mm. True.
It's more of an intrapreneur. So it's somebody that has, you know, very similar skill set to an entrepreneur, but is able to work within an organization to be successful. I mean, a pure entrepreneur would, you know, open up one of our Moe's restaurants most likely, and they would try to think of, you know, ways that they think would make the model more successful or better rather than actually following a proven system. So I guess I would actually say the person we're looking for would be an intrapreneur, because if it was a pure entrepreneur, you know, they would probably come up with their own concept and run with that. But I guess if the number one advice I can say is research and keep doing research of every single thing you can do. I mean, obviously you have to research the brand, you have to research the franchise company, you have to research, you know, our existing franchise partners. You know, how happy are they? Not happy? Are they making money? You know, your market's in question that you're looking at, the competition. I think that there's no substitute for research. You know, the IFA has a great website that, you know, kind of outlines the steps you can take to consider and, you know, a franchise and what franchise might be right for you. I think that that's a good place to start. But I certainly wouldn't limit myself to you know, having a good team of people, whether it's a lawyer and an accountant with you to assess the, you know, the business model and what you're trying to do. But, you know, at the end of the day, an intrapreneur that's going to own a franchise and an entrepreneur, kind of the same thing. You know, they both have to take that step and, you know, and write a big check to get a business running that is really going to be, you know, completely, you know, I shouldn't say completely, but for the most part, the success is going to be determined by them.
Yeah,
I don't think we've ever heard that before, right, Marty? Intrapreneur.
Intrapreneur, yeah. And, you know, sometimes we call them the franchipreneur, and it sounds like, I guess, Moe's would, of course, stay away from those entrepreneurs, Steve.
Yeah, well, they're,
that could
know,
be dangerous.
They're very tempting because they're, you know,
yeah,
they're always very eager. They're willing to take risks. And, you know, any opening any business is a risk. Certainly restaurants fall in that category. But,
yeah,
you know, you definitely do want somebody that's not going to try to reinvent the Moe's model.
That's true.
Do you ever worry, Steve? There's just so much competition. There's so many restaurants, both franchise, non-franchise. I guess it gets to be kind of overwhelming and maybe could delay the decision process of a franchisee. Like, how do you, you know, get around and fight through all that, and especially if you have a prospect you think can really be a good fit for the Moe's system?
Well, I think that, you know, people buy, you know, buying is a very emotional process. And
yeah,
people buy from people they trust. So I think that the most important part with anybody you're talking about is you've got to have a meeting of the minds and find that common ground, and that person's got to understand that you're really trying to understand and see what their goals are. And
right,
and if they do that and you have that, you have that rapport that's built early on, people are much more willing to tell you exactly what they're, you know, driving at, exactly what makes them happy, exactly what doesn't make them happy, you know. And at times, you should be able to, I've done this long enough, you know, you've also got to be able to say to somebody, you know, I don't think this is going to be for you. And,
right,
you know, that's a hard thing. You know, obviously, I'm a salesperson, and part of my compensation comes from selling franchises. But, you know, at the end of the day, does it make more sense to bring somebody into the system that you're not quite sure is going to be the right fit, or does it make more sense? You know, I've had people say, I've said to people, I don't think this is the right thing for you, and kind of push them away, and they've actually called me back and after they reassessed what they wanted to do and finally bought a franchise and ended up being great franchise partners. So, you know, sometimes it's a wake-up call, but, you know, I think that's the case. It's just a matter of getting that initial rapport, and so people are going to actually tell you, you know, so there's no hidden agendas. Everybody's going to tell you, you know, it's a lot easier for me to help you if I know what your goals are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. What about the location, Steve? I mean, is there an ideal location, and how much space is actually required to open up a Moe's?
If you want to look at just our typical prototype, it's in the 2,500 square foot range. That would be about 90 seats in the restaurant. But, you know, it's kind of like a typical day or a typical franchise partner. There's really nothing typical.
True.
I mean, if we have a restaurant in downtown Manhattan, you know, you're probably not going to, at the rents that are paid there, going to have 2,500. But in general,
right.
I would say, you know, 22 to 2,800 is probably the sweet spot. You know, we do have restaurants that are 3,300, and we probably have restaurants that are 2,000 or slightly less. It's just going to matter of what the market is, what the economics of the real estate are, because, you know, obviously that rent payment that you're going to make is a gigantic fixed cost.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can get
right.
that to a very manageable point, which for our franchise partners, they'd like it to be zero, but the lower and more manageable that fixed cost is, obviously the better the business model and the unit level economics of the restaurant will be.
Mm.
Any worry with new franchisees with a restaurant with so much cash involved with theft? I guess Moe's has that system down pat as far as franchisee not having to worry about that?
Well, these are all cash businesses, and that's, you know, part of the training goes into cash is, you know, cash is removed from the restaurant on a daily basis. I would say it's getting to be where almost every restaurant has a camera system installed so franchise partners can watch things are taped. You can see what's going on in your restaurant. I mean, some of our people, you know, we have a gentleman in Jacksonville, Florida, Brad Chastain, and he's got 17 restaurants. So it would be a little bit difficult for him to be personally spending any significant amount of time in each one of his restaurants on a daily basis. But, you know, he does have a system so he can see what's going on in the restaurant and kind of take inventory of what's happening, you know, during business hours and certainly after business hours.
You're seeing, Steve, I guess, in general, I mean, you see the economy coming back a little bit, the numbers going up with Moe's or just in general, like, you know, what are you really seeing out there?
Yeah, I mean, I think things are, I mean, I certainly don't think we're out of the storm by any means, but, I guess the number one thing that from our perspective is the lending markets. You know, if banks aren't lending money to franchise partners aren't opening restaurants.
Right.
You know, these are generally leveraged investments, you know, and, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago, you know, you could have only, 15% injection of cash and basically get the balance on an SBA loan or a conventional loan and open up a restaurant. And especially if you're somebody that has the experience and this is your fourth or fifth or sixth, it's a great model to grow. With the recent banking crisis and everything else that's gone on, that injection amount is, you know, 30, 35, 40% in some cases, and that's only being lent to people with restaurant experience and a lot of time with restaurant experience in the brand in question. So, yes, the lending market is, I think, is the number one issue. But I think, our same-store sales and, you know, we've taken steps to hire somebody or actually to put somebody on retainer that we use is actually a CEO of a bank that assists our franchise partners and our new franchise partners in securing loans. So we saw that was a problem, and probably 12 months ago we brought somebody on to try to address that and help our franchise partners through that.
I'm glad you've avoided talking about specific dishes and meals because it's right before lunch here. East Coast.
That's true.
It's a home wrecker with steak and chicken. That's what I would eat.
I can only imagine. So what are most plans for the future then, Steve? I mean, are you guys going to expand internationally? I imagine you're going to continue to grow throughout the United States.
Well, we'll actually open our first restaurant in Turkey this year. We sold a 40-restaurant package to a gentleman who was actually from Turkey, was living in Jacksonville, and is now taking the Moe's concept back there. So, yes, we are already moving internationally and at a pretty good pace. But I think our focus is going to be kind of the same as it is now. Our thoughts and our goals are pretty realistic. If we make money for our franchise partners, then generally everything else kind of falls into line. So we'll continue to focus on our franchise partners and their restaurants, both unit-level economics. You know, our R&D department, you know, keep coming up with creative menu items and looking for ways to make Moe's viable in all the communities in which we have our restaurants. And at the same time, we're going to grow the brand with good franchise partners strategically through both traditional, obviously street-side type locations, and non-traditional venues. We've opened in, you know, airports and at universities, and we're looking at some casinos and a lot of different non-traditional venues that'll give the brand great exposure and are in really high traffic areas that actually do quite well. You know, we'll probably open, you know, in the neighborhood of 40 restaurants this year. But next year, I mean, our pipeline of signed deals and restaurants that are moving along to open in 2011, it looks like we may have 100 restaurants open next year, and that would be the most ever in the life of the Moe's brand. So, you know, we're very excited about all that growth and continuing to grow with successful restaurants and successful franchise partners.
You're right. So much excitement, so much positive, and an economy that's still rough, to have all that stuff going on is really a great job that you're doing with Moe's and, you know, within the Focus company. That's great, Steve. Good job.
What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on becoming a franchisee? Are there any websites that they can go to? Or
you can go right to www.moes.com. There's a link to the franchising right on our website.
Okay, great.
And that's moes.com.
moes.com.
That's great. I want to thank you again, Steve. You've been a fantastic guest, and we'd love to have you guys back in the near future.
Anytime. I appreciate you guys giving me the time, and it was fun to talk to you.
Same here, Steve. Thanks so much.
All right,
great job.
Thanks, Steve.
Go on, bye.
Great show, huh, Don?
Yeah, really good guest. And knows the details on everything.
Yeah, it sounds like a real fun place, too, you know. It's and it's funny, you talk about brand recognition. I mean, I'm very familiar with this franchise, yet I've never been in one before, you know. So, and that's very important, brand recognition. One of the things, of course, you're getting when you buy into a franchise, you know. But this one sounds like a lot of fun, you know. And I think these guys are just going to continue to grow, so that's fantastic. So good job on segment one today, Don, and we've got another great show next week. And thanks to our listeners for, of course, listening. And for more information, you go to franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear almost 200 interviews up to this point. Go franchise.com and, of course, franchisefunding.net. And I'll be talking to you next week, Don.
Great, Marty. Have a good day.
Great show. Thanks, everyone. Take care. Bye-bye.